In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text has already been read for this evening from number 6 and is also what we've recited from the Catechism. Last week we learned that to have a God was to have something that you fear, love, and trust in above all things. Our Lord Jesus tells us that this is the first and the chief commandments from which all the others flow. All of the commandments are linked to one another through this one commandment. When we fail in our faith towards God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we break this commandment. And when we fail in love towards our neighbor, we also break this first commandment. Tonight, as we look at the second and third commandments, we will see how the right use of God's name and honoring the Sabbath day are linked to this first commandment. First, let us consider that second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. As we just confessed, God strictly forbids the misuse of his name with this commandment. This means that any time that we would use God's name in support of any lie or any sort of evil at all, God forbids it. He hates it. When we consider also the way that people in our society so commonly use God's name as a curse word, we see how this commandment is ignored and trampled upon by the masses. How often do you even hear our children say, "Oh my," and then invoke God's name? We use God's name to make promises or to strengthen our case to others when really that is not the reason God has given us his name. But perhaps the most insidious misuse of God's name is found within the realm of Christianity itself. The sheer number of false teachers that surround us, lie and deceive in God's name seems to be ever increasing. They deny that baptism saves. They teach that Jesus couldn't possibly have meant that the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper are truly his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. They teach that we must invite Jesus into our hearts in order to be saved. They teach us that God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that any hardships that we might face in this life are a sign of unbelief, God's judgment against us. But not only is false teaching a gross misuse of God's name, it also draws people away from the truth of God's word, which tells us that this is also a sin, even to listen to false teachers or even to read their books. We ought to mark and avoid all false teachers, for as Jesus says, they are nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing, seeking to devour the flock. But in addition to what God forbids in this commandment, God also tells us how to rightly use his name. Here we are to call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. In short, what God wants us to do with his name is to call upon him in prayer. This is a great and wonderful gift that God has given to us. And just as he has put his name upon the people of old, as we heard in our Old Testament reading for this evening, so also has he put his name upon you in the waters of holy baptism. And since he has given this name to you, he also has given you the promise that he will not only hear, but he will also answer your prayers. The psalmist writes, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And so with this commandment, we see that God does want us to use his name, just as a father loves to hear the voices of his little children calling his name. And so now, let us also consider then the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. With this commandment, God strictly forbids us to despise preaching in his word. Now, it is certainly possible to despise God's word even while sitting in the pew, or even while preaching it, I would wager. As we heard in the parable of the sower a few weeks ago, to let the word of God go in one ear and out the other ear is not really making use of it. It's like trampling on the seed of God's word on the hard-packed path, and the birds come in and steal it away from us. That is the devil, Jesus tells us. When we do this, we are despising God's word. We're breaking the third commandment. But we also live in a time where there is so much to pull our attention away from God's word, whether it be sports or social gatherings or work or even sheer laziness on our part. We ought to lament that these things have encroached more and more upon our Sunday morning activities and even our Wednesday night activities. When we allow other priorities to take us away from hearing God's word, we are shifting the love that we ought to have for our God away from him towards other idols. But with this commandment, just like with the second commandment, God is also giving us another tremendous gift, and that is the very gift of himself. As we sang earlier, we put aside the work that we do when we hear the Lord's word, that God might also in turn work within us. Through the word that he causes to be preached among us, God is actually giving himself to us so that he might give to us the forgiveness of sins and give rest to our bodies and also to our souls. This is what Jesus means when he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Sabbath day, the day that the church gathers around the word of God, be it Sundays or Wednesdays or Thursday and Friday coming up later in Lent, the word of God that Jesus gives to us is rest for our bodies and for our souls that prepares us not only for life in this world and the hardships that we will face, but even prepares us for life everlasting in his kingdom. And so with these two commandments, God tells us exactly what we are to do to show our love for him. When we misuse God's name or fail to keep the Sabbath day holy by hearing the word of God, we are showing that our love for God has taken a back seat to something else. And for this, we must repent of our sins. But these commandments also meet their goals in us when the second commandment, for instance, draws from our unclean lips and our corrupt hearts our sins being confessed to our God. When we confess our sins of thought, word, and deed, and we listen to God in humble faith, we hear from him words of forgiveness, life, and salvation. When we hear the word of God being preached to us, and when we also believe that gospel, that is what God is aiming at with the second commandment. We believe that for Christ's sake, when that word of God is preached to us, that all of our sins are forgiven. We believe that we have peace with God, and we believe that we have a home with our Lord in heaven forevermore. These are the foundation and the strength of all our prayers, our praises, and our thanksgiving before God. Likewise, the third commandment meets its goal when it teaches us that heaven can be found right here on earth, where God comes to us sinners in order to bring that forgiveness to us. He does this not out of merit or worthiness that is found within us, but out of his great love for us sinners. He does this for Christ's sake. It is not because we have worked hard to get to heaven. It is because Christ's works, not our own, are the ones that earn salvation for us. God forgives our sins on account of the holy, precious blood of his dear Son, Jesus. And that same Jesus is the one who labored for us by bearing our sins in his body. And so, therefore, it is for Jesus' sake that God promises us eternal peace and rest in heaven. And that, dear friends in Christ, is where our true Sabbath rest will be. But in the meantime, Jesus brings heaven here to earth, and we come to find Jesus our shepherd that we might listen to his voice here. For he is our true Sabbath rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.